We're in the Sefer Tomar Devora. We're going through the Yud Gimel Midos as he explains them from the Navi and Micha. We're on the third Mida right now, the Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem, and the idea that Tomar Devora's Musar book is built on, again, just because it's been a while since we've learned it, is that we have to emulate these attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And by doing this, we are halachta bedracha. We're walking in Hashem's ways, which is one of the Taryag Mitzvos. One of the 613. So the first one, he said, Mikael Kamocha. This is the Pasuk in the Navi. Micha. Who is a God like you? His explanation was, just to quickly summarize, who is a God like you that can handle so much embarrassment and suffer so much humiliation that at the time that the person is rebelling against Hashem, they're going to do an aveir against the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mamish, at that moment Hashem gives them the koach, gives them the ability, the strength to do the thing, the rebellion against Hashem. Who is a God like you who could do such a thing? That's the first mita. From there, we can chazer. The second thing we saw was say, no say avon. He's able to pardon iniquity, is the way the Art Scroll translates it. That even after the Avera is done, and when the Avera is already done, at that point, he said that there's a mashchis that's created, there's a destructive malach that is created, an angel of destruction that's created by every Avera we do. And still at that moment, Hashem doesn't stop. He mefarneses that mashkes. He gives sustenance and waiting for you to do tshuva. He puts the sentence in abeyance. As opposed to the punishment being executed now, he stays the punishment. Why? In order for us to get the point and fix the problem ourselves. That's another thing we have to emulate. The third one, that's today. Over al pesha. He overlooks transgression. So up until now, it was no say avon. Avon is usually iniquity, but it's a shogeg, an avon, some type of bad thing. But now pesha is more of an amazed type of guy. An intentional sinner is what we're talking about now. And he overlooks the avera, the transgression. We're going to see how the Tomer Devar explains. Now I'm reading. Zumi the gedola. This is a big one. The Reish Yitzchak says this is the biggest one. The biggest one. Okay? Zumi the gdola. Shaharei. Ein ha-mechila al yedei shaliach. The forgiving, the mechila that Hashem gives us is not by way of a messenger. No shaliach is doing Hashem's work. Ela al yado mamish. Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the mechila is coming by way of Hashem Himself. Ki dichtiv, ki imecha ha-selicha. With you, Hashem, is Slicha. The Mefarshim explain, Mechilta, Sifra, there are a lot of Rishonim, Achronim, who all explain there's a distinction between Mechila, forgiving, and Slicha, which again is also a type of forgiving. They explain as follows. The only thing that has the power to really do a Slicha, as we'll explain in a minute what that is Hashem. Ki imecha Slicha. Only with you, Hashem, is there slicha, forgiveness. Everyone else in this world can do mechila, but not Hashem. Hashem can do something bigger. What's the difference? So the explanation is that mechila is, listen, you did a transgression against me, you harmed me, you wronged me, you did something wrong, I can mochel you, I can forgive you. The aveir is still there. The hard feelings may be gone for now, but the memory of the thing that you did is not gone. I remember what you did. I forgive you. It's over. We're moving on in life. It's over. You paid me back. Whatever it was, the money you took, whatever happened, whatever damages. But the thing itself is still in the world. We remember it. That's mechila. Slicha. This is explicit. In a lot of places, by the way, the Sifra, different places, the Malbim explains this. The Eitz Yosef on a Medrash explains this. A lot of Mefarshim explain this way. Slicha is Hashem erasing the Avera from ever happening. It never happened. He forgives you, you did Shuva, it's gone. It's gone, goodbye. Any remnants of the Aveira are also washed away, as we're going to see in a moment. So that's the chiluk between Slicha and Mechila. If it was by way of a Shaliach and not Hashem Himself, you would only get Mechila. But now that Hashem is stepping in and taking over, He's going to give us the Slicha. That full forgiveness that is supernatural, outside of this world. And here we go. Shehu rochet ha'avon, He washes the Aveira. He washes the sin. Kidichtiv, im rachatz Hashem b'tzoas b'nos Sion. This is the pasuk in Yeshaya. When Hashem washes away the tzoa, the excrement of the daughters of Zion. The tzoa, filth. Hashem is throwing on us holy water to purify us. Hashem is doing the cleansing, the purification Himself. V'hainu, says the Tomer Devora, over al pesha. This is what it means to overlook the transgression. Not just overlooking it. Sholeach meme rechitza. He pours water to wash it. That's over al pesha. He's completely knocking it out. Over v'rochets apesha. He completely wipes it out of existence. Cleans it out of existence. Continuing. V'hine. Yes? When you do tshuva me'ahava. Unfortunately, it's not written here. That's going to be a kasha. The only time Hashem is going to do this action, of course, He's not just washing away your averus for free. Anybody who says Hashem is mevater, Hashem forgives just because I'm a good guy. You know, I did an Aveira last night and this morning I learned good. Or I give tzedakah. Or I do a chesed. To anybody who says, listen, my chesed today took care of that thing that I did last night. Don't worry. That guy's in big trouble. Chas v'shalom to say Hashem operates that way. You get rewarded for the good act you did this morning. The tzedakah, the chesed, the Torah, whatever you did. But last night's not going away. Hashem's not washing that away just because I'm a good guy. No. The only time you're going to get it is when you do tshuva, when you repent, mi'ahava. The Gemara in Yuma, Pei Vav Amud Beis, explains the difference between tshuva mi'ahava and tshuva mi'ira. If you do tshuva mi'ahava from love, to come close to Hashem and do repent for the bad behavior, for your sins, then your zdonos, your intentional averas, turn into zechuyos. They become merits for you. The same avera becomes a positive act. If you do tshuva because you're afraid of getting punished, not because you love Hashem, I just don't want to get hit, I don't want to get hurt, I don't want to get gehenim, then that tshuva turns your intentional averas into shogeg, into as if you did an unintentional avera. It shifts it down, it's still there. But when you did tshuva mi'ahava, that's what the Tomer Devora is talking about now, at that point, your averas that were intentional, not accidental, your intentional averas become merits, mitzvos. You did a good thing. How could it be? Huh? He's not talking about that. One second. He said, when it happens, Hashem does this act of love, that He washes away everything completely. That's clearly only talking when you do tshuva mi'ahava. Let's continue. So now he says like this. Just like God, you have to do this. Shelo Yomar, don't say, I'm going to go fix this avera or this destructive act that so and so did. Why should I do it? Let him do it. Says the Tomer Devora, Lo Yomar Kach, don't say that. Shaharei ha'adam chote. Behold, man sins, v'akadosh baruch hu be'atzmo, shelo yidei shaliach, mitaken es ma'avosav. Hashem Himself doesn't say that when you do your nevera. He steps in and cleans it up Himself. The roches tzoas avono. And He washes off the tzoa, the excrement, ich, of your sin. He washes it Himself. U'mikan yitbayesh ha'adam. From here, man should be embarrassed. Lashuv lachto. To go back and do another avera. You should be humiliated. Shaharei. Because look, Hamelech ba'atzmo roches lichluch begadav. It's Hashem Himself who's cleaning up your filth on your clothing. That's the Tomer Devora. So look what he's saying over here. You got a guy. a neighbor, I don't know, a friend, a neighbor, whatever you want to call it, who's doing something and throwing garbage in the courtyard of the building, the lobby. And you don't want to clean it up. But you know the other neighbor is going to get furious at this guy. So why should I clean it up? He made the mess. I don't want to clean it up. That moment, I don't want to clean it up. He made the mess. Yeah, I don't want to put away his books. Let Reuven will yell at him. It's not my business. But he made the mess. He didn't put his books away. I'm not putting it away for him. Why should I do it? He's a bum. Says the Talmud Devar, don't do that. You go put the book away. 1 minute, I'm going to get there. Trust me, I know where you're going. Says the Talmud Devar, don't do that. When you go and take his book and put it away, even though he's not holding, it doesn't make a difference how many times Reuven says, put the books away. Nothing's going to change. Certain people, nothing's going to change. They're going to leave the books and run out the door and forget. That's it. So you could be a guy saying, oh, he's going to learn his lesson. I'm not helping him. I'm not going to clean up his mess. Adarabba. That's not what Hashem wants. Now the kash on what I'm saying is obvious. Why should I put his books away? If I'm learning from Hashem, this was the kasha we asked, Rabbi Mandel, we asked this kasha. Why should I, if I'm learning from Hashem, when does Hashem clean up my mess? When the guy does tshuva, mi'ahava, the Gemara says. When the guy repents, mi'ahava. Right? Then Hashem steps in. So this guy, he's not asking forgiveness from Reuven. He feels nothing. He's a piece of garbage. Human garbage. He won't put the books away no matter what. He's not saying, oh, I feel terrible. I forgot. Forgive me. I'm going to try. And then the next day something happens. He gets an emergency call and runs out. And I say, oh, I know this guy really wants to put the books away. Now I'll put it away. That's not the case. The Talmud Devar is saying, even in a case where the guy is just saying, oh, Reuven, who cares what he says? I'm leaving my books again. Daryl will pick it up. I'm not going to do it. Right? I don't care. Even that guy have to pick up his books. How could it be? This is a kasha. So the emes is, I see in this sefer here that I have that Rabbi Mandel purchased for me as a gift. I thank him for that. The author says, really, you don't have to do this. Except if the guy says he's sorry and really feels bad. You don't have to go clean up another guy's mess unless he really feels bad. He did tshuva for you sincerely. He really feels bad about the bad that he's doing. And then you can go and step in and try to take care of him. I like this book very much, I must say. I like this book. He has a lot of nice notes in here. He's from England. Where is he from? Oh, Lakewood. He's from Lakewood. But I can't agree with him on this, because the Talmud Devar makes no mention of the fact that when am I supposed to go and clean up the other guy's mess? Only when he really, I see that he's, you know, regretting. He doesn't say that. He says in all cases, even if the guy leaves his books and looks at you and winks at you and says, I'm not doing it. Still, there may be a place, we can argue, you still have to clean it up for him. Why? How could it be? That's the kasha. How could I have to do more than Hashem does? How could it be? How could it be? How could I have to go when the guy doesn't have any feelings of regret at all and still have to act like this? So it occurs to me as follows. When you look at the language of the Navi discussing what Hashem does after we do tshuva mi'ahava, when you do tshuva mi'ahava, what's Hashem doing? He's rochets Hashem es tzoas benos yitzion. He's washing off the tzoa, the diarrhea, whatever you want to call it, as filthy and disgusting a word as possible, the filth of the daughters of Zion. Tzoa. So I was thinking about it. Tzoa. Let's think about tzoa. Last night we were talking about it in my house. So they were making fun of one of the kids who has a stomach virus, and he did something in his pants that wasn't pretty. So I reminded one of the older kids about an episode that happened when they were a baby. I walked into the room, into the babies in the crib, standing, and everybody I'm sure has had this experience at some point, especially if you have a lot of kids. and the kid's covered head to toe. And I reminded her of this situation when she was a little girl. What happened? Head to toe. She didn't remember. She's a baby. Head to toe. Ugh. I opened the door. I closed the door. And I walked out. I said, Dina, the baby needs you. And I just walked out. That was it. That's what I did. That's really what happened. And all the kids started laughing, and my wife remembered it also. It was a memorable moment. You don't forget those things. So I'm thinking, who's going to actually go? What would I do if, let's assume my wife wasn't there? Let's assume she wasn't home. I'm not going to lead the baby like that. Ugh, you can't. I would probably have gotten a hose and hosed her down from long distance. That's what I would have done. That's what I think we were thinking about last night. I would have hosed her down from long distance, as far away as possible. And then after that, rip her clothes off, throw her in the bathtub to do something. But what did her Ima do? Ima doesn't do that. It's not going to hose her down with cold water. Ima's going to go, take her, hold her, even though she's disgusting, in her hair, everything. I'm going to go, Ima's going to take her gently, put her in the bathtub. Not cold water, not hot. I would have turned either cold or hot water, something. But nice water the baby's not going to get for this. Not to me. I'm going to turn either hot, a little hot, a little hotter than normal, just to make her know, don't do this again. Some chinuch. Train the child. Something. It's not going to be a gentle activity as I'm gagging. But Ima, no. Ima takes her slowly, even though Ima gets dirty also, takes off the clothes gently, doesn't rip it off her body, over her head, doesn't hurt the baby in the process. Does it the right way. That's love. That's the imagery that Hashem is telling us here. Hashem is washing off, not shliach. If I was God, there's no question. I would have so much business to do that there'd be no time. I would have to appoint someone to clean off this baby, not me. I'm a busy man. Very busy man. There's no time for this. But Hashem, no. Hashem doesn't do by shliach. And the question is why? Even though the guy did tshuva me'ava, he did the avera. The Navi is using language about what an avera looks like to God as that smelly, disgusting baby. That's what God sees in our averas on our body. It's not just like a guy who didn't shower for a few days who smells bad. This guy is covered in tzoa. That's what God has to deal with. And instead of calling one of his messengers to go clean up the baby, clean up the guy who did tshuva me'ava, and here's the critical words that Eitan Dreilich said. For no good reason, God goes and cleans up the mess himself. There's no reason. Tshuva me'ava is not a reason that God has to clean it up. Tshuva me'ava is a reason that you get full credit, zechuyos, whatever you want. Give him anything he wants. Give him mitzvahs, but I'm not cleaning up the tzoa. I'll wash away the tzoa, but let the shliach do it. There is no svara, there's no logic that will explain why tshuva me'ava is going to get Hashem to go with a washcloth and wipe us off and wash the mayim tahorim on us. No. There is a tshuva me'ava, but that doesn't necessitate God getting his hands dirty. If so, you can't say that only when tshuva me'ava happens, that's when I have to go now and put the guy's books away. No! There's no good reason why God cleans us up, and there's no good reason why we should clean up the guy next to us, even if he's not regretful, even if he's nothing. Still you have to help him. Still you have to clean up the mess for him. Even so, it's just like Hashem does. There's no difference. Tshuva me'ava, God, no, nobody owes me tshuva me'ava. When he doesn't put books away. He doesn't have to owe me anything. I have to act for no good reason the way God does. That's what I understand as the pshat here. And with this, yes?
So why is Hashem waiting?
Well, because, well, a second, because God, that's, Hashem is only going to tell you, you can't make it that God removes the idea of judgment. Cheshbon. You did an avera, you did a mitzvah. If you can't erase the mitzvah, it doesn't just go away on its own. Why God made the world in that way, I don't think we can ask such questions. God understood that this is the way we're going to earn our Olam Haba, our eternity. We have to earn it. And there has to be consequences, mitzvahs, averas, there's punishments. You have to say such a thing. So all, but in the final analysis, when you do the tshuva be'ava, all of a sudden God acts for no good reason and steps in and starts mopping up the disgusting person, us. If so, this is the way we have to be. This is the way we have to be mamish. Whether or not the guy did tshuva or not and feels bad, it doesn't make a difference. Again, if you're going to hurt the person by helping him, then don't help him. You understand what I'm saying? Like you say, look, guy spends all his money on drugs, and I'm just going to give him more money to spend on drugs? He's making them say, no, I want to be like God. Keep giving him money. No, that's silly. You're hurting the person. But most of the time, we justify not helping by saying, listen, that's going to be, I'm trying to help him. Really, you're not trying to help him. You just want to get him. That's really what's happening inside. Really, really want to get him. You don't want to give him a chance to get the point himself. That's not what's happening. If so, there are many, many opportunities. And that probably explains the last line also. Look at what he says at the end. I'll repeat it. Mikan yisbayesh ha'adam lashuv lachto. From this is a tangential thought, he's saying. From here we should be embarrassed to go do an avera. Why? Sharei ha'melech be'atzmo rochets lichluch begadav. The king himself is washing our filth. Why am I only embarrassed over here? In the first midah, he didn't say you should be embarrassed to go and do a sin again. Why shouldn't I be embarrassed? At the time I'm doing avera, Hashem's giving me the strength to do the avera against him. That's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing that after I did the avera, God is staying the judgment and paying off the malach mashkis from hurting me. That's not embarrassing. The answer is no. That's also embarrassing. Of course it's embarrassing. But this is humiliating. To think, I'm going to go do an avera, even if I do tshuva mehava, look what I'm doing. I'm getting Hashem, the king himself, to have to go wipe down the filth. The filth. Do we remember what we're saying over here? This is a shocking thing. The Reishis Chachma explains here. This midah is the one that if you can do this, this is what separates the men from Hashem, not the boys. This is the one that separates everything. Think about it. If you could do this, he says, Hashem is going to give you kapara, mechila, slicha, all of these things that are absolutely out of this world. If you're able to do this with another person, when he deserves to not get your help, to not get your support, when he deserves to get his head kicked in, smash him in the face and throw him on the street and tell him that's what you belong, and you actually do the opposite and clean him up and cover up for him or cover up for her lackings, her mistakes, and you go and step in and try to make them look good without them knowing it just because Hashem does it for no good reason, all of a sudden you're one of those people that's mamish something special. Something, not something special. Hashem. You are Hashem. That's only Hashem does that. Only Hashem will do such a thing. No one else. No one else. People don't act like this. No one. Except those special people.